Of the House Fisheries Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 5:15 p.m. on Tuesday, March 14th, 2012. Present with us today is Representative Kawasaki, Representative Heron, Representative Osterman, and myself, Chair Representative Thompson. Excused today is Representative Pruitt. He's back in Washington, D.C. Please turn off your cell phones. Just turning them to mute will interrupt the recording equipment, just the vibration. As long as it's transmitting, it could interfere with the entire system. At today's meeting, the committee will continue a discussion on public testimony on House Concurrent Resolution 18 regarding programs to facilitate the entry of young Alaskans into commercial fisheries careers. Today we will hear from Paula Cullenberg from the Marine Fisheries Advisory Program. Paula will give us an overview of the Marine Fisheries Advisory Program. Paula is also here with the Young Fishermen's Summit. We are privileged today to have Alaska's young fishermen and women here with us today, and thank you for being here. I will allow the young fishermen some leeway in their testimony, since they probably have more to teach us than we have to teach you. The committee would like to hear about their respective regions and their issues. Our first order of business is introduce CS for HCR 18. Representative Osterman, can I have a motion to bring the CS for HCR 18 before the committee for discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move. Move version 27-LS0838/D as the working draft.
Okay. Is Tim here? Yeah, there he is. I need an objection so we can discuss this. Thank you. Mr. Clark will give us a breakdown. Place yourself on the record and tell us the difference between versions M and version B.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tim Clark, staff to Representative Edgman, and I'm loaned to the Fisheries Committee for work on this resolution. The committee substitute differs from the original bill, beginning in the substitute itself on page 3, page 4, line 3, which is the conclusion of the resolution. Last week, the committee heard from two officials at the University of Alaska about a recent development of the university's Fisheries, Seafood, and Maritime Initiative. Coincidentally, this initiative came into being after the introduction of HCR 18 last April. What started in June at the university as a working group within the university has evolved into an enterprise now including industry, CDQ groups, and the continued participation of the Rasmussen Foundation. Particularly in terms of education, training, and research, the goals of the university-led effort align closely with the legislature's goal to strengthen programs and resources in the state in order to facilitate the entry of a greater number of young Alaskans into gainful skipper-level fish harvesting careers. Given the closeness of this alignment, it seems that for the legislature to begin its own such initiative would be duplicative and somewhat inefficient. So instead, you have before you a committee substitute for HCR 18 that endorses and encourages the university's Fisheries, Seafood, and Maritime Initiative. The CS would also have the Senate President and House Speaker each appoint one member of their respective bodies to act as liaisons to the university's initiative and report to the legislature on its progress on a regular basis. These liaisons' participation would culminate with a report to the legislature due by June 30th, 2013, that would include recommendations on ways the legislature might effectively contribute to any action plan developed by the university's Fisheries, Seafood, and Maritime Initiative. Committee staff have conferred with officials at the university regarding this approach and they welcome the legislative interest, support, and involvement. With that, I'd be...
This also necessitates a changing of the title of the resolution.
That's true as well, and has been taken care of in the draft that's come from Ledge Legal.
Any questions of Mr. Clark? Seeing none, you withdraw your objection?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Is there any objection to the CS? Seeing none, then we'll be addressing version B. And thank you, Mr. Clark, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we're going to open up the resolution for public testimony. Our first testifier is Paula Cullenberg with an overview of the Marine Advisory Program. Ms. Cullenberg, please come to the table, put your name and affiliation on the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paula Cullenberg. I'm the program leader of the University of Alaska's Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program. The university's Marine Advisory Program is a statewide marine extension program. We have extension faculty that live in Nome, Bethel, Dillingham, Unalaska, Anchorage, Kodiak, Cordova, Petersburg, and Ketchikan. And all of them are people that work closely with our coastal communities on a variety of issues, but certainly on fisheries, seafood, and related coastal economic issues. I'd just like to thank the committee for considering the concerns described in HCR 18 and inviting the Marine Advisory Program and the participants of the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit to have the opportunity to share their perspectives with you. This is here, the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, and after a few quick comments on my part, I will introduce them as a group, and then some of them would like to make some comments for your consideration. So. HCR comes from a concern about the graying of the fleet, i.e. the increase in the average age of Alaska's fishing fleet. This could likely be true for a number of occupations in our state. However, Alaska's seafood industry is the largest private employer in the state. It's the largest group of small businesses in the state, and it's the economic backbone of many of our coastal communities. So thinking and planning ahead for our next generation of commercial fishermen in Alaska is certainly in the state's interest. And as fishermen reach retirement age, they look to pass on their fishing business, maybe to family members or maybe for sale to someone else. However, if a permit, a boat, and the assorted support infrastructure leaves a coastal community, it's similar to losing a small business in a town. Jobs are lost, tax dollars are no longer collected, children of fishermen are not in the school system. And as less people fish, towns lose their fishing identity. They lose the likelihood youngsters will pick it up. If the know-how is lacking and the fishing activity diminishes in a community, infrastructure can deteriorate. And we've seen this happen in a number of communities in Alaska, in Bristol Bay with salmon, and in a number of small communities in Prince William Sound and Southeast related to IFQ for halibut. But really, there probably isn't a more logical economic opportunity and an easier way to make money in rural coastal Alaska than to own a small fishing business. Young people in these communities used to be certain that if they wanted to, they could always grow up and be a fisherman. Our current system requires significant capital outlay up front that can be both intimidating and literally impossible for young people. We don't have in the state a reliable replacement solution in our transfer mechanism when the family transfer system breaks down. And even when the family transfer system can be difficult with our current regulations, because it's really an all or nothing transfer. And sometimes that could leave an elder at risk who maybe would like to transfer their permit to a younger person in hopes that the younger person will pay them back over a series of years, and that system is not really allowed in our current transfer regulations that we have.
Excuse me for just a moment. I want to acknowledge that Vice Chair Johnson, Representative Johnson, has joined us about 5 or 10 minutes ago, as did Representative Miller. Go ahead.
Thank you. So while we are in this period of transition from older to younger fishermen with the graying of the fleet, it's a good opportunity to help create a situation where those businesses naturally can flow to young Alaskans. So I think the purpose of HCR 18 is to encourage the state to establish an environment that lowers the barriers to entry for Alaskans, and that might include mechanisms to allow the passing on of a permit over time to the next generation, or allowing selected groups to hold permits in trust for beginning fishermen, such as the CQE program is a version of that. Or it might include access to capital by Alaskans new to fisheries. Or maybe it might include access and looking at and experimenting with new fisheries, emerging fisheries that are often available and out there but unable to be prosecuted because Fish and Game doesn't have the resources to decide whether it's a manageable species or not, or it's a large enough species. I think you'll probably hear some suggestions from the young fishermen that are here today about their thoughts on this, and they're in the thick of it, certainly. From our perspective in the university system, programs that improve the skills and tools of young Alaskan fishermen entering the business can contribute to their success. Examples of the kinds of things that we focus on in the Marine Advisory Program, albeit we are a small program of 16 extension agents with a large audience and a huge geographic distances. I know you can probably relate to that. So our reach is limited, but we, you know, the kinds of things that we focus on are greater financial skills for commercial fishermen, understanding risk management through safety training, and understanding insurance and liability, improving technical skills as fishing becomes more complex or markets become more demanding for higher quality, and then information about participating in the public regulatory process. And we spent a lot of time in the last couple of days talking about that. And then leadership development through programs like the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit. And I know that you had the opportunity last week to hear about the university's new initiative to look at how they can do a better job training and providing education for fishermen, seafood, and maritime occupations. We actually spent last summer completing an inventory of all of the programs and courses that the university offers statewide, trying to see what might be applicable to these occupations. And we found a lot, but one thing that was unique was that we found that there were no classes or programs in the university system that had the word seafood or fishing in them. So I think we have a long way to go. That's supporting education and training, and then there's the issues of barriers to Alaskans through regulations and financing issues that I think would be useful to address. So thank you again for your time, Mr. Chairman, and unless there are questions, what I could do is introduce you to the group, and then I know there are some folks signed up to testify.
We have any questions from the committee members first? Ms. Kullenberg, anybody have any questions? Okay, seeing none, please introduce your group.
So in the room we have about 50 fishermen from the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit. They come from about 18 communities in Alaska. They are gillnetters, longliners, seiners, trollers, pot fishermen, sea cucumber divers. And we actually added it up today, and it looks like we have about 465 years of fishing experience in the group. So these are folks that are... they're young and they're new in fishing, but they are actively engaged in all levels of fishing, crew members, permit holders, and people that own their boats and permits and operations. So we did this interesting introduction, and I wanted to just do a quick version of it so you could see who we have here. So, you guys are game. If you fish in Southeast Alaska, would you stand up, please? Okay. Thank you. If you fish in South Central Alaska, including Prince William Sound, Cook Inlet, Kodiak. Okay, thanks. If you fish along the Aleutian Islands or up to Savunga. Anybody here? If you fish in Bristol Bay, would you please stand? Okay. And if you fish for halibut or black cod. Okay, thank you. If you fish for salmon. And finally, if you fish for something else, crab, herring, sea cucumbers, pecod, shrimp. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's your group, and appreciate the...
Paula, thank you so very much for the testimony and for introducing the group to us. This time I'd like to ask the young fishermen to come forward and testify one at a time. It's my understanding that we have a few participants who would like to make comments, and I have a few that have signed in on the list I can call up. Zach Hill. Zach, if you put your name on the record and let us know your affiliation, where you fish, and things like that, and we'll listen to your testimony.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Zach Hill. I'm from Anchorage, but I grew up set netting and standing in Kodiak. My father still set nets in Kodiak. My uncle, long lines out of Homer and Yakutat. I recently bought a Kodiak seine permit and a seiner. I basically just sort of want to spare. Share some of my experiences with going through the process from becoming a crew person to getting into ownership. I'm currently 28, and for me the biggest challenge for trying to become an owner was the cost and access to financing. Over the past 5 to 6 years, salmon prices have risen pretty dramatically, and lots of people have been getting into the industry. What that's done is driven limited entry permit prices up. It's driven boat prices up. So as Paul sort of touched on, it's a pretty significant capital outlay just to get started in the fishery anymore. I spent a little bit of time with what was then the Division of Investments. Now I'm not sure what they're called. It's part of the Department of Commerce. And they offer a great program to try and help Alaskans get started in commercial fishing. The only problem is that it hasn't really caught up with the rising costs. So I sort of wanted to touch on House Bill 261. Say I think that that's a great step in the right direction, increasing the ceiling for those loan programs. That's really about all I've had to share. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you. Yeah, House Bill 261 raises the ceiling from $100,000 to $200,000 for buying the permit.
I believe so, and then it also increases the total limit for Section B loans to $300,000.
Yeah.
So it definitely helps with the permit costs. I mean, places for salmon, at least Prince William Sound, it's nearly $200,000 just to get into the fishery there. Lucky that Kodiak's a little bit cheaper, but definitely it's a step in the right direction. It doesn't completely necessarily address the rising boat costs, but it definitely helps a lot. We appreciate it.
Any questions from the committee or Mr. Hill? Thank you, Mr. Hill, for your testimony.
Thank you, Chairman.
Next we have Brenda Harrington. Brendan, D-A-N. I had to put my glasses on.
It's all right. I figured you might correct the record once I got here. Anyway, my name's Brendan Harrington. I'm from Kodiak. I'm a lifelong fisherman. I fish for cod, halibut, blackcod, scallops, and crab, pot fishery, long lining, and dredging. I just wanted to say, it's not really specifically pertinent to the agenda tonight, but I wanted to start by commending you all for the work that you did last year to push for the resolution to make immediate action on halibut bycatch. As you know, it's a pretty tough year for those of us in the IFU fisheries. We're looking at, 50% cuts over the last 2 years in the central and western Gulf, which is where I've traditionally made most of my money. And I've just in my little time here talking to a lot of people, I've noticed that a lot of people have been framing the argument, the conflict over resources, as one that's between sport charter fishermen and commercial fishermen, but nobody really talks nobody's really included the bycatch issue into their talking points when I've just heard it casually mentioned. And I think it's hard to talk about the issue without talking about the issue of bycatch, which is enormous. And I just wanted to say that the observer coverage is a definite option. Increasing observer coverage, there exists a lot of new technologies to lower the cost and lower the burden to smaller boats so that we can raise the observer level on all gear types up to a much higher level, closer to 100%. The way that the observer system works now and the trawl fleet and whatnot is an easy system to game. And then there's not really much observing going on boats. There's no observing going on boats under 60 feet. And I think it's been a demonstrated obstacle to taking any action that there's not complete data on the whole issue. So I would say that you all should be aware of, I'm sure you're probably aware of the technology of railside cameras. I know it's been looked into a little bit, but that's something that the smaller boats who have a limit of bunks and can't really afford to carry the cost or to feed or to house an observer, that is one thing that could be looked into. And I just want to say that if this is the obstacle that's holding us up, there's a lot of support amongst fishermen my age, and we're not afraid of observer coverage. We know that we operate good, clean fisheries, and we wouldn't have a problem with we're not averse to new technology as well. You know, we're used to it in my generation. We all just shut our smartphones off when we came in here. So, that's about it. I'd just like to say that it's a tough time right now for us all, and there's difficult decisions ahead, and especially in the halibut industry, it's really important, as I think you all know, to take action now before there's nothing left for us to fish for in the next generation. And thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Arrington? Thank you, Brendan.
Thank you.
All right. Next person that wants to testify is Jason Shull. Jason, if you'd come forward and give us your name and your affiliations, and we'll listen
to
your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jason Shull, and I'm from Haines. I'm a gillnetter in Haines. I've been gillnetting for 3 years. And I would just like to say I really appreciate the opportunity to come here today and testify. Thank you for that opportunity. I was born in Haines. I've lived in Alaska about 30 years of my life. When I got done with high school, I went away to college and went to the Lower 48 and got a degree and got married and returned home to Alaska, like many kids do at that age. And I started working for the department as a biologist. And I worked in fisheries for probably 10 years or so. All kinds of things. I did research, management for the department, even did some enforcement stuff. So I enjoyed that time, but the time came when I realized I was not going to do that forever, and I started looking into getting into fishing. I didn't have any commercial fishing experience, and I had started a family, and I was married, and I was facing a very difficult situation trying to get into the fishery. I happened to be very, very lucky. I got a loan through CFAB without basically any commercial fishing experience. And I had been told from the state loan folks no up to that point probably about 25 times for obvious reasons. I wasn't a likely loan candidate for getting into commercial fishing. My point here is, CFAB was they were willing to take a risk on me, and it's paid off. In 3 seasons, I have a successful commercial fishing business. I'm paying off my boat and my permit. I've moved into the president position of the Lynn Canal and Gillnetters Association, actively involved, obviously attending the summit, here testifying today. Planning on attending the Board of Fish meetings, already have a lot of things going on in this short period of time. And I just want to say every loan counts. Every single one counts. 'Cause I almost didn't get into the fishery, and I guarantee if I haven't made a difference yet that I will. So I guess to kind of close up my comments, I also want to add that the loans alone aren't really enough. Obviously, if you give loans out to folks who aren't going to be able to manage their business and be successful, then it's not going to work out, and those Alaskans aren't going to in turn, provide back into our economy. So that's where the education part comes in, and I just urge you to continue supporting workshops like the one that we're currently at. Maybe look into new options for education, maybe apprenticeship programs or something for folks who didn't grow up in fishing families like myself. My dad was a garbage man in Haines. I had to figure out my own way how to do this. So just would like to plug for the loans and for more education and appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I guess that's it.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Scholl, thank you very much for your testimony. Next we have, is it Ken Jones? Put yourself on the record and let us know what you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kenneth Jones. I'm a commercial fisherman from Cordova, Alaska. I'm a third-generation fisherman. I drift and seine out of Cordova. My sister's husband, brother-in-law, he has a fishing business of his own. It's a big part of my family's history. It's a big part of the community's heritage. And I just want to comment on 261, House Bill 261. I think that would be very beneficial, not only to commercial fishermen, young commercial fishermen looking to get into the future of the fishery, but to the future of the state. The graying of the fleet, the state is economy, is based a lot on commercial fishing, as you all know. I just wanted to say that I support it. The loan limit of 100,000, like it's been said earlier, I really don't want to repeat too many of the same points for you guys, but the loan limit has not progressed with the recent increases of the permanent values. There's currently five statewide permits over 100,000, and like has been previously stated, it makes it hard for young people to buy into the fishery. I think the program is great. It's personally helped me. It's helped many of my friends and colleagues, and this bill would just make it an even better program, and it would help many more people to grow Alaska's economy and the future of our state.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any questions from the committee members? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Tracy Newsy. I hope I didn't slaughter your last name.
Right on track.
Place yourself on the record and your affiliation, and we'll hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tracy Newsy, and I'm from Cordova, Alaska, and I'm a commercial fisherman. I just bought a drift gillnet permit for the Copper River Prince William Sound District in November, and I wanted to briefly just talk about three agencies that you appropriate money that made it possible. The first is AMSI. I got to go in and chat with our permanent lady there, Tori Baker, who sat down and pretty much showed me if it was possible. She looked at my situation and taught me how to think like a businesswoman. And is this something that you can afford? Is this something that fits into your lifestyle? And that was huge to think on that level. And then after I kind of went through that hurdle, I went to the Fish and Game Department and chatted with those folks, because now I need to make sure that the market is, or the, fish stocks are going to be there at least for the next 20 years for my fishing career. And they sat down and took time out of their busy lives, just as you guys are, to sit and chat with me and show me the historical trends and what they're predicting. And then the third agency was your loan department. I called them and they were incredibly helpful, pretty much hold your hand through the whole process, and they're there to help us. And we feel that, and I, like my other young fishermen that have come up here and talking about 261, the ceiling does need to increase, but I also feel like the language in there is really beneficial for someone like me. I believe not only does it increase the ceiling, but it also says that once you get a loan, you are in the ceiling. The language is changed to you're now eligible for a second loan in Section B for a limited entry permit. And that would be incredibly great because, as we know, fishing goes up and down. It's a cyclical process. And to diversify is, I think, the way, what I've learned from the gray hairs that we want to let retire, they say diversify. That's the only way they've been successful. So I want to take their advice, and I urge you to please look at 261 in the next couple of months. And from what I understand from chatting with a few of you fine fellows is that it's in the Finance Committee in the House. And I don't know if it is possible in the next couple of months to make it happen, but I really would appreciate your consideration. So thank you.
Anybody have any questions of Tracy? Tracy, thank you very much for your testimony. Next we have Molly Larson. Place yourself on the record and we'll hear your testimony.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Molly Larson. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I grew up set netting on the west side of Kodiak Island. Got my first cruise share when I was 10. Third generation set netter out of Kodiak. And growing up in the fishing lifestyle, it really became part of my identity as I went through high school and left the state to go to college. I'm currently studying biology and environmental policy in Tacoma, Washington, and I plan to return back to Alaska and possibly buy into one of the either Kodiak or the Bristol Bay fishery. I've drift netted out of Naknek, and I see the potential for a great future career for myself in that fishery. And I would just like to urge you to consider the fact that there are young Alaskans leaving the state to get an education and returning back to the state, and support of programs that help young Alaskans get their own permit, get their own boat, get in the game is really an investment in not only the economic future of the state, but also the health of those coastal communities that depend on the in-state fishing culture to survive. So, thank you.
Any questions from the committee for Ms. Larson? Molly, thank you so much for your testimony, too. And I have one more signed up to speak, Mike Michelson. Place yourself on the record and we'll hear your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Mike Michelson, and I'm from Cordova, Alaska, and I'm 28. And I'm kind of the first generation of fishermen that have come back and bought into the fishery, because when I was 5, the oil spill happened, and basically all through high school, all our teachers said, well, don't get involved in fishing, there's no future in that. And so a lot of us went to college, and they're like, wow, you know, there's really some money to be made here, and this looks like it could be something that we want to do the rest of our lives, you know, and live the lifestyle that we watched, you know, people doing when we were really little before we had any of that oil business slowing us down. But, yeah, I'd just like to kind of reiterate what people are saying but about 261. But I think the interest rate part of it isn't such a big deal for me. I bought a new boat and a permit this spring right before this season. It's my second season running my gill net operation. And, you know, the average gross earnings for the gill net fleet in Cordova was $100,000 last year. And if you can't get that permit to go out there and catch those fish, you know, you're not gonna make any money and be able to refinance your loan. And so even if your interest rate is 6%, 7%, 8%, 9%, it doesn't matter. You just got to get out there and catch those fish and have the ability to do so. The other thing I wanted to mention was that as you're looking at these state loan programs, which are a great public service for those young fishermen that choose to take advantage of them, the boat prices to get into seining have just skyrocketed because fishing is doing so well. So
I know the permit prices are currently tied to the state loan program, but it would be great to have the vessel prices for the directed fishery that you're planning on getting into, have that be tied to the loan program as well, because to buy a seine boat that would be competitive in the Prince William Sound fishery, you're looking at $300,000 to $500,000 to find one. So just something to consider. I would also like to mention Fish and Game. As a new fisherman, obviously I have big payments to make, and there were several occasions where because Fish and Game lacked the funding, they closed fishing early because they didn't have any money left in their budget to go fly and check and see if there were indeed salmon in the streams and they were getting their required escapement. There was another situation where there was a directed skate fishery in the Prince William Sound area that was closed because they didn't have enough money to continue to do the research that was necessary to keep it open. And part of my income comes from fishing halibut and Pacific cod, and we were catching some skate as bycatch, and it would be great to be able to keep a little bit more of that skate and bring it into town just to, you know, offset fuel costs. And a lot of those operations out of Cordova are pretty small operations. So I'd just like to thank you guys for this opportunity.
Questions of Mike? Mike, thank you very much for your testimony. I believe there's a couple more that didn't sign up with a yes. Anybody else in the audience like to come up and testify? Come right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Stephen Rhodes, and I live in Sitka. I come from a long tradition of people who didn't grow up fishing and aren't born in Alaska. And I was lured here by fishing. And I started fishing here in 1996. And in 2007, we stopped going down south permanently. And one of the most valuable things that has kept us here and made it a viable business for us is the state loan program. The state loan program is an incentive to keep the fisheries in the hands of Alaskans that most conventional lenders cannot loan on limited entry permits. And it really ensures that the access to those permits come to Alaskans first. That's a really valuable thing. I'm really excited about being Alaska. I'm pretty new up here, I feel. Only 5 years. I'm excited about how Fish and Game manages the fishery. I'm excited about working with state loan officers that speak English and not jargon all the time. And I'm really grateful to be here in the state of Alaska, fishing, raising my family, and enjoying it all. Thank you.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you very much, Stephen. Does anybody else in the audience like to come forward? Yes, come right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Timothy Nick, and I come from Dillingham. I'm originally from the Kuskokwim region. And but my family moved to Dillingham in 2001 and again in 2010. My beginnings, my introduction to fishing was back when I was 15 years old in 2005. And it was only just one outing with my dad and Mike Davis, a former legislator. And the payment that I got for my first season was a whopping $2.76. Starting watching my father, my dad, Father Victor is back there. I watched him go through a hard hardships of getting started with fishing, and watching him, I thought about how it can be if we didn't have to pay for all those expenses and at the same time trying to fish. It was hard for me to watch my dad go through that hardships and not having that much profit coming out of fishing. And our income comes from fishing, and having all those expenses at the start of a fishing career was expensive, and I've kind of talked my dad to maybe selling the operation so that we wouldn't have to go through those expenses. But I'm glad that he talked me out of it. he gifted me his permit 3 years ago, and I'm really thankful that he did that. And then he went through a loan program to get another permit, and I've been helping him as well. He's just like he's been helping me get started with fishing. And it would be great for the current proposition, I guess,
one we're on now, HCR 18?
Yes, that one. It would be great to have that pass so that the young fishermen like myself who almost didn't go into fishing to be able to keep the permits inside the state and amongst the local citizens who rely on fishing as a main source of income. Thank you.
Questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Is there anybody on the line? Oh, we have one more. Thank you. Come forward. Yeah, place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
I'm John Scott, and I grew up in Indian Valley near Anchorage. And I've been working on a deck in the summers. That's like almost all my income. And right now, I'm going to college in Fairbanks. So it's in-state college. It's like Mali. It's also like not by the ocean. You can't really go catch fish in Fairbanks. So this is why fishing is important to me, so, and I'm always thinking about maybe going into getting my own boat and permit, and so I need to have loans available for that, so I haven't gone in yet, but I'm always, programs like this will keep me motivated to go like that, and along with lots of other Alaskans who are fishing in the summer and going to college in the winter, or other training things in the winter. So, thank you for considering these bills and proposals.
All right. Questions? John, thank you very much for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to come forward?
I'm not a young guy, but...
Are you what we consider the graying of the fleet?
I think so, Mr. Chairman.
Rain may have already passed.
My name is Terry McKeon. I represent United Fishermen Alaska and Cordova District Fishermen United out of Cordova. I just wanted to say it's really great to see all these young folks here. There's quite a few from Cordova and Bristol Bay and all around the state. I think it's very important that SeaGrad, you know, is funded to keep these programs going. This is how these young folks are learning how to, this is a business. You got it. When I started out, I just got out of high school and went fishing. I mean, there was no business plan in my thoughts of going fishing. So, but nowadays, you've got to have a fallback, an education, something else to fall back when the seasons are bad. And they learned a lot about business in the seminar they're having here and how to have a business plan and be able to look at all these things objective, whether you're going to get into fishery. So part of that is Sea Grant's done a great job. The Marine Advisory Program has done a great job educating these guys, and I think that we should continue this every year what other business you're going to get into besides, you know, fishing. Even those classes are good, but this learning how to run a business nowadays is very important, and what your costs are going to be with the fuel costs and everything that's rising now, and it is harder for a young guy to get in now because when I got in, there wasn't any limited entry permit. I just took my old wood boat and sank it, going out to the ground. So I didn't make it that first time. But luckily, I'm still here, and I survived that episode of sinking. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody have any questions for Jerry?
So many, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I was trying to keep up with Representative Thomas tells a lot of stories, so I was trying to keep up with him a little bit.
You can ask those questions anyway.
Yeah, I'll the record.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Is there anybody else in the room who would like to come forward and testify? All right. Anybody online? Oh, we have one more. I didn't look far enough to my right.
Hi, my name is Rhonda Hubbard. I'm from Seward, and my husband and I have been participating in the Young Fishermen Summits since they started. Well, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. This is their fourth one. And in looking back, I kind of think I'm almost envious in a way, because it's great that we're turning, we want to give these fishermen, they're not just fishermen, they're professional fishermen. And that's what this program is helping them become. And like Jerry says, yeah, we didn't have a business plan, we just went fishing. And so it's I'm glad that I'm able to be a part of mentoring them along, and I just really applaud the advisory program for bringing this to fruition. So, and thank you for help funding that and making that possible. And I do support the grain and the fleet bill in front of us, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Any questions? Ms. Hubbard, thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the room who might come forward? Please come forward, Arnie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Arnie Thompson. I'm president of the United Fishermen of Alaska. And I'm just really encouraged by the presence of these young fishermen here at the summit. I was fortunate enough to be able to take in the morning session yesterday and listen to all of the, you know, the various areas and the fisheries that these young folks are involved in. I'm particularly encouraged by the fact that we now have a generation that's going out of state to college and university and then coming back here and going to work in the fishing industry. I had no idea this was going on. And I'm a university-trained former fisherman myself, and you know, I've kind of been back and forth between fishing all my life. But I think that, too, the industry workforce educational needs assessment that University of Alaska is conducting in conjunction with Sea Grant and the Rasmussen Foundation is really a wonderful thing. And so I just want to thank you for having this this hearing today. As part of the Young Fishermen Summit, I think it's really a very fine thing to do. Thank you.
Questions of Arnie? Mr. Thompson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Anybody else in the room who would like to come forward and testify? Anybody online? Nobody's online. Well, then, seeing then, at this time, I'd like to close public testimony on HCR 18. That brings HCR 18 back before the committee. I do have one conceptual amendment for the CS to HCR 18. I'd like to move conceptual amendment number one.
An objection?
Why? Oh, if I can explain it.
An object.
Thank you. Amendment number one occurs on page 3, line 1. After industry, we will insert, and the University of Alaska Southeast Fisheries Technology Program, exposing young people to the harvesting careers in commercial fishing and offers programs in aquaculture and fisheries management. Unfortunately, the original CS left out this program, and it is directly aligned with the policy intended for HCR 18.
Withdraw your objection. I'll withdraw my objection, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any objection to conceptual amendment number one? Seeing none, then we will move forward. Discussions by the committee on HCR 18. Seeing none, by golly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the CS for HCR 18 amended out of committee with individual recommendations in attached or not attached physical notes.
Zero physical notes.
No physical note.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, then we have passed HCR 18 as amended from committee. So I want to thank all of you young people for being here and seeing how the process works. And I really, really appreciate that all of you are involved in the fishing industry. I think that's really exciting that your interest is what it's all about, and we're trying to make it easier for you. Okay, at this time it is 6:02 p.m. and there being no further business, next meeting will be 5 p.m. Tuesday, February 21st. At that meeting, we'll be hearing from ASME, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And with that, we are adjourned.